Next on BYUSN, basketball season right around the corner. Today we preview the start of what is expected to be an historic season for Cougar basketball. We'll discuss our expectations and make our predictions for BYU's leading scorer, and of course, how far we think BYU will go in the NCAA tournament.
You'll hear from head coach Kevin Young, Richie Saunders, and freshman phenom AJ DeBonce on their excitement for the season. And what do we think is more likely right now? BYU football makes the college football playoff, or men's hoops goes to the Elite Eight?
How's that for a loaded question? Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Thursday, October 30th. I am Spencer Linton, alongside a man who's ready to give out droves of Halloween candy tomorrow night, Jerem Jordan.
So much candy going to be given out. Not the full size in my neighborhood. Well, maybe parts. How about AJ DeBonce getting some buckets with Cosmo? So Cosmo's got a bucket last night at or was it two nights ago at the Marriott Center, I think, at the exhibition game for women's hoops. He's throwing candy into the bucket for Cosmo, and he goes three in a row. He's hyped. Three for the – let's go!
Listen, Halloween is fantastic and all, but it's also Jerem's birthday today on Halloween. Happy birthday, Jerem!
Thank you. I've said before, I'm more of a Jehovah's Witness than a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints relative to my own birthday. But thank you very much. I appreciate that. Yeah.
Bring in the goods. Jerem is wearing a Cougar Tail sweatshirt
today. Cougar Tailito.
This isn't a Cougar Tail. Yes, this is Son of Cougar Tail for you.
Son of Cougar Tail. Thank you. I appreciate that. I will enjoy this. Thank you. That's very nice.
Happy birthday, Jerem Jordan.
A singular candle for all 29 of my years on the earth.
I'm doing my part to make you not despise Halloween as much as you have in the past. To make your birthday feel special and not drowned by Halloween.
For some reason, I hated Halloween growing up. I don't know. I think it's fun with my kids now. But, yeah, I am watching Stranger Things. I'm in the mood for that kind of, you know, horror, sci-fi.
Yes.
I'm rewatching it, getting ready for the season 5 release. So thank you. I appreciate that.
You bet. Thank you. We have one more thing to do, and it's appropriate on your birthday that we do this.
Yeah.
How many days away are we from BYU men's basketball opening this season? Hit it!
Is it happening?
Or let's just do it, Jerem. One, two, three.
Four days away. Only 4 days away. Only 4 days away from men's hoop season. That's exciting.
You could have eaten that whole donut.
Well, if I'm Joey Chestnut, sure, but I am not.
On that note, and with birthday celebrations in the air, rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending. Being number one at some point this season is not out of the question.
Do what you need to do. Focus in it every single day. How do you get better every single day?
I could easily say Final Four. I would safely say, you know, Elite Eight would be phenomenal.
This team is capable of doing some awesome things.
It is the BYU men's basketball season preview special, and you know what happens when we do a season preview special. We make predictions so that we can hold ourselves accountable probably multiple times throughout the season when we revisit some of these numbers. And Jerem, it begins with the overall record.
So I haven't seen what you think until right now. And I'm like, oh, man, we think the same thing. So, okay, overall record. They played 31 regular season games.
Yes.
13 non-con, 18 conference. 23-8 is what we both say.
Yes.
Why do we both say that?
I just feel like it's going to take a minute for BYU to gel together as a team with all of its parts and talent.
How long is a minute? 60 seconds, roughly?
I think it'll be, technically speaking. I think it'll be similar to last year. And BYU kind of hit their groove.
In February.
Late January, early February. Yeah.
Well, they go on a 9-game heater.
They might.
From kind of middle of February into March.
Hopefully it happens sooner than that. But there will be some weird games in the non-conference. And I'm sure fans, like they were last year, are like, well, what the heck's going on here? That was ugly. Like, after the Providence game.
Do you think there will be a Providence game?
I hope not. I don't think that they will
Where they just get blown out?
Maybe in conference.
I hope there's not a single one.
I'm with you, right? I'm with you. Basketball
There could
weird.
Be one.
Basketball's weird.
And there was only really one. There were two last year, right? Providence and at Houston.
And Alabama in the NCAA tournament when they made 25 three-pointers.
Oh, yeah, that.
Like, sometimes teams just can't miss. It's like, no matter what you do in basketball, sometimes
BYU,
it's just not your night.
BYU was that team.
Yes, they did that several times to opponents.
So there were three crazy blowouts, yeah.
23-8. And also, you ask why? Well, I think it'll take a little bit for BYU to gel, but also the Big 12 Conference, I think, is stronger this year than it was last year.
Wow. Yeah, I'm excited to watch it. Okay, non-conference record. Well, we both had the same record, 10-3, non-con. I do think, yeah, there's a couple losses in there. There's some tough games. You know, UConn and Boston, certainly AJ will be extra motivated being from the Boston area. He's from like 45 minutes south.
It's not like BYU's games in Orlando or even gimmies.
Right, those are actually easier than some of the other ones. Wisconsin is a tough one in the Delta Center, rematch of the second round game, right? They lost John Tanjay, luckily. Of course, Clemson in Madison Square Garden will be a big one. Villanova's no gimme. Granted, Villanova kind of struggled last year a little bit, but yeah, this is a tough non-conference slate. They should win a bunch of those, but yeah, I think there are a few losses in there, 10-3. They could absolutely be 12-1 too.
Yes.
I don't see them being 13-0. Like if they go 13-0, they might be the
number one team in the country.
One or two team in the country.
Yes, because then you've beaten UConn and Wisconsin
and Clemson.
And Clemson in big venues with huge national spotlights.
And Georgetown, Dayton, Miami, two of those three. Like, whoa. That'd
we
be
say
awesome.
10-3. I wouldn't be surprised if they were 11-2.
Yeah.
Not at all.
I don't want a 9-4 though. Like you need a couple of those quad one non-conference wins.
See, sure. Three losses for me in the non-conference is that opportunity to gel. Like there will be some tough games based on opponent, and sometimes it's not your night.
Gel in wins. How about that?
Okay. Big 12 wins. The number of Big 12 wins BYU will have. They're 14-6 last year. There are only
There
are only 18 conference games this season, however.
Yeah. We say the same number, 13.
13-5. Yes.
There will be losses there. It's tough to go on the road. It's tough to play Houston. It's tough to play Baylor. It's tough to play Texas Tech twice. But it's going to be tough to play BYU, too. I want to point that out. You're playing Arizona twice as well.
Yeah, that's really difficult.
It's Kansas once, and it's only on the road. That'll be fun. But, yeah, this is a gauntlet. You know, if BYU goes 13-5, I think that's really stinking good. And that's going to be good enough for, you know, a certain top three finish in the Big 12, which we'll get to in a sec.
I'm happy to report that there is one difference in our first four projected numbers, Jerry.
By one whole number. Real lot of diversity here of thought.
And that is in quad one wins, okay? How many quad one wins will BYU have? I say 9 by
I
the time
10.
The resume comes together.
Yeah, 10.
Okay.
Last year, BYU had 10. They had 6 the year before that. So I think it's similar to last year. They have 10.
All right.
Heck, it might be more.
Where will BYU finish in the Big 12 Conference? They were tied for third last year. They got that double bye in Kansas City in the Big 12 tournament, which was fantastic.
Maybe it's a triple bye this year, Spence, because I have tied for second. We'll see how tiebreakers shake out. But I think 5 losses. I think Houston wins the league, the regular season. And then BYU's tied for second. And maybe there's some tiebreakers, and they get that bye to Friday.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
I'm not that far off from you. I have BYU at 13-5. I thought that would be good enough for third place in conference. It might be good enough for tied for second.
I'm trying to remember. If you're top two, do you get all the way to Friday? I can't remember. We've not been in this scenario. I don't even remember.
The West Coast Conference PTSD bleeds over.
They would say,
into
Gonzaga,
this.
Just show up Monday. Literally in the semis.
Play in the semifinals.
I don't remember. Whatever. Okay, scoring leader. Who's going to lead the Cougars in scoring? It was Richie Saunders last year at 16.5.
A.J. DiBonso will be BYU's leading scorer.
Really? You think the preseason first-team All-American projected number one pick is going to lead BYU
in
scoring? Really?
Yes. And he's going to be just a hair under 19 points a game. I say 18.9 points per game for A.J.
I like your digits. I went 19.8.
They're the same numbers.
Literally,
same three
we
numbers.
Don't talk about this before. I don't want to know what you're picking and vice versa. 19.8. Now, here's the thing. He could very well go 22-24. I think he's going to shoot 20 times a game. I think he's going to average 6 or 7 free throws a game. I think he's going to be a monster on offense.
20-point scorer.
He won't be Jimmer, 28.9. And part of me wants him to be a 24-a-game guy. You could argue he's the best player BYU's ever had, and that includes Danny and Jimmer. He's got to prove it. But if he was the number one pick in the draft, I mean, Jimmer's college senior year.
It's going to be tough to beat
incredible.
That.
It is tough to beat that. In terms of just talent and skill, BYU's never had a more talented and skilled player than this guy. Already?
What's AJ's version of Jimmer Mania?
Right.
Like that is what all BYU fans are hoping for.
It's more about if BYU as a team is top five and they're hosting these massive games. That's what that would look like. We'll talk about that a little later after his interview. What would the DeBonson mania, whatever we're going to call it, be like?
Yeah. Okay. The rebounding leader a year ago was Kaba Keita at 7.9 rebounds per game last year. Jeremy, we both picked the same dude to lead the team again, but your numbers, I guess, not considerably, but somewhat lower than mine.
6.8.
Do you think that there are just more people involved in going to get the ball, like AJ?
I don't know. I didn't think that hard about it, I'll be honest.
Okay.
And, like, it could be 9. He's going to play more minutes, so why wouldn't it be more?
That's why I went a little higher than last year. I said 8.1 rebounds per game.
I mean, it might be 9 rebounds a game. Which is a monster number.
In a double-double against North
Carolina.
He's
not going to split 20-20 like he did last year with Foose. I bet Kaba, if he stays out of foul trouble, plays closer to 26, 28 minutes a game. Assist leader. Yegor Demon, of course. I mean, Dioman.
Yeah.
But Yegor Demon played at BYU. Dioman's the
NBA guy.
Yeah, yeah. That's how we've
He's morphed. It's the Pokemon
Have you seen the
version.
Movie Split?
Like he's the next level Pokemon.
Nice. Nice.
Demon becomes Dioman.
Dioman. 5.5 assists per game. Who leads for BYU and how many?
It would be BYU's starting point guard, Rob Wright III. Hilarious that, again, we do not have a single conversation about this. We just send him to our producer and he puts him in the show. I said 4.5 assists per game.
Nice.
You say?
4.3. Yeah, Rob is a special player, man. And we saw it Friday. We saw it against Nebraska in limited action. We saw it Friday against UNC. The dude can create off the dribble. He's going to create a lot of open shots for BYU players. I think Richie Saunders is the one that benefits the most from Rob Wright III.
And it should be in the corner spotting up for three.
Tyler Morus, Kennard Davis.
Those guys are going to have
Baker.
Some wide open
yes,
looks.
Yes, absolutely.
Field goal percentage leader a season ago was Kaba Keita at 67.3%.
That was crazy. All within 5.5 feet, probably?
It's because he shoots obviously so close to the basket on the reg, and dunks are heavily involved there.
Yeah.
So where are you going this year with the percentage leader and the number?
Keita, 59.8. I think just teams scout him a little differently.
Okay.
Just they're like, hey, don't let him get to the rim so easy. But tip-ins, dunks, I mean, Keita's fun to watch, man. Thank goodness he transferred from Utah. He's been awesome.
I think for the two exhibition games, he's at 62%.
That's it?
What's going on, Kayla?
67, by the way, was a BYU record.
Yes.
That was a single-season BYU record.
It won't be as good as it was last year with that record-setting season.
He's like, yeah, right, 70%.
I still think it'll be north of 60%. I said 64%.
Yeah.
He just dunks the ball so consistently.
Yes. What will be higher, Bear Bachmeyer's completion percentage or Kaba Keita's field goal percentage?
Probably Keita's
field
goal percentage.
If LJ's back... That changes that
okay.
a little bit. 3-point percentage leader. It was Richie last year, 43.2.
And that was remarkable. He got on an absolute tear late in the season, and his shooting was out of this world.
He was like a 50% shooter for a while.
It's incredible. Richie Saunders is going to lead BYU in 3-point percentage again, and it won't be quite as good as last year, but I still think he's just a hair north of 40%. 41% for Richie.
Yeah, give me 39.9. He's just right there.
Just rounded up to 40.
Because, I do think that people will defend him differently as well. I think people aren't going to be surprised by Richie Saunders. And they weren't halfway through the season last year. The first half of the season, it was like, oh, Richie's playing differently than he did last year. He was off the bench 9-point-a-game guy. And then he was like, nope, he's the man for BYU. Mm. And they don't draw a ton of sets for him, draw him up. They just creates. It's in transition. It's in just a catch and shoot. He's so quick with his decision making. He catches the ball and he goes in 0.7, man. He just goes. Okay, 3-point makes. Richie had 79 last year.
Yes. Richie's going to take more and naturally make a few more. His percentage might be a little bit down because of the volume going up and a regression to the mean. I think 84 made 3-pointers for Richie, which is 5 more than he had last year. I do think that he is going to feast because of A.J. DeBonsa and Rob Wright
III. Feast week on ESPN.
Those guys getting him more opportunities. And I think he's going to hunt for his own shot more from the three-point line. We've heard coaches talk about his ability to work around ball screens and particularly around the three-point line and get into a three-point shot off of a ball screen on top of the key.
If he can dribble into some threes now,
yes,
that's the next step, too, for him offensively. He'll answer the question what he needs to work on coming up later in the program. But three-point makes leader, give me Richie as well, 75.
Okay.
Just a touch under. I think they spread the wealth just a little bit. How about total blocks?
I'm going to go Cabe Akeda as your leader. He will be down 5 from last year. At 41 last year, I think 36 this year.
Give me 40, one for every year it took to build the Salt Lake Temple. Yeah.
I think Xavion Staten's going to be a block stealer a little bit.
Ooh. Nice. Well, and if he's on the floor, yeah, that steals his minutes and some blocks. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Total steals.
I'm going with Richie again. Richie was the team leader, 43. He's just so disruptive. He's an incredibly frustrating player to try and score against and play against. He is the guy that every other opponent hates and their fan bases hate because he's pesky. And I expect more pesky defense from Richie this year. 38 steals to lead the way.
Steals are interesting, right? Because if I poke it out and you grab it, you get the steal.
Yeah.
And that's how the great Jimmer Fredette got a lot of steals, because Jackson would poke it out and Jimmer would grab it and run, which is fun. Jackson got a lot of steals, too. Give me Rob Wright the third. He had 32 at Baylor. I think that he and Richie sort of feed off each other, and they combine for 70 or 80 steals. Rob Wright the third has 40 steals this year. I think that'll
Wow. Be fun. We finally picked a different person. That's the first time we've picked a different person in any of these categories. Best win of the season. Shocker, it's the same.
Houston at home.
Yes.
Houston at home will be the best win of the season. I think College Game Day could be there at that game.
It will be absolutely.
Saturday. It's a Saturday. It's going to be awesome.
Electric.
I hope it's a top five matchup.
Oh.
I hope it might be Houston's only loss in conference.
On the road in Provo.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were lucky to sneak out of Provo 2 years ago.
Yeah.
With their great team.
Close game
with the win.
At the end. That was fun. NCAA tournament seed. What's it going to be?
3 seed, matching BYU's highest or best seed ever.
Me too. I think 3. I'm hoping for a 2, I'll be honest.
Love to see history.
I'm hoping for a 2. I was surprised last year, noticing, looking back at it, Tennessee had 7 losses, Bama 8. They were 2 seeds. So there's a chance that BYU could also be a 2 seed with the record we're kind of proposing. We're saying 25-8. Chances are they're 2-0 or 1-1 or whatever in, we hope in Kansas City they win a game or two. They win the ship in Kansas City, they're probably a 2 seed. But if they don't, maybe they're a 3, right? Hoping not a 4. I think there's too much talent for a 4. It's like, if this is the most talented team BYU's ever put together, you got to match what they've done before with less talented teams. They've had individual greatness. But, like, the 2011 team, I think, was great. They had Jimmer, Jackson. They had a lot of good role players on that team. Obviously, you know, Brandon Davies in the tourney, that would have changed things. But they were pacing for a 1 seed.
Yes.
I mean, it was crazy. Okay, NCAA tournament. Last year, Sweet 16, obviously.
Listen, Jerem, when BYU has a National Player of the Year candidate, they typically do great things. They have that in A.J. DeBonso.
Once every 30 years. Now it's only 14 years later.
BYU's, years later. Not surprisingly, the 2 best seeds BYU's ever had in the NCAA tournament happened when Danny Ainge was playing at BYU. In 1980, they were a 3 seed. They were upset.
Yep.
The year before, they went to the Elite Eight. In 81, they were a 6 seed. But still, Danny was here, 3 seed. Jimmer was here, 3 seed. AJ's here, 3 seed. And I think BYU takes the next step, and they get to an Elite Eight as well.
I say Elite Eight, hoping it's Elite Eight Plus.
Mm. Mm.
Final Four for the first time would be really fun, of course. Sweet 16, would it be enough with how talented this team is? I'm kind of saying no. I think this team needs to get to that regional final. Yeah.
They can do it.
Yeah. They're good enough.
I expect BYU to be playing their best basketball, like almost a replica of last year.
Yeah.
They will be cooking by the time they get into March.
Absolutely.
All right. With that, an elite end to our predictions, if you will. Our question of the day is this. What is more likely at this point? This is a loaded question because BYU football has been playing so well.
I heard that.
And they are 8-0 and ranked in the top 10. What's more likely? BYU football makes the college football playoff, or BYU basketball goes to the Elite Eight that we just talked about?
What's your answer just off the dome?
I say BYU football going to the college football playoff because they have already done much of the hard work to put themselves in position to do so. And the NCAA tournament is so fickle.
Yeah.
It's all about matchups.
Yeah.
All about matchups. So percentages. I'm just using like mathematical chances percentages. At this point, I feel like BYU football making the college football playoff probably is a greater percentage than basketball.
I feel like it's men's hoops. I do. I just the way that BYU football has played, they've been done great not to lose yet. They've almost lost several times. BYU men's basketball, like, the talent level is there to be able to make that kind of run. So we hope both. Put on the blue goggles. We hope both. Come on.
Yeah, interesting conversation. We would love to hear from all of you at BYU Work Stuff. I'd say basketball to the Elite Eight. That's the preseason expectation. And as we all know, preseason expectations are always accurate.
Yep, Utah football has been running the Big 12 for the last 2 years. They're always accurate. Join us for a special men's basketball season opening season tip-off show, countdown to tip-off pregame show, Monday night ahead of BYU-Villanova live from Provo in Vegas as A.J. DuBonta, Rich Saunders, Rob Wright III, and the Cougs start the season 8:30 Eastern on BYU TV and the app. Post-game show on the app only right after.
It's your birthday. You can take all the shots you want at whatever opponent, Jared. More of that.
I've never waited for my birthday.
Up next, year two for BYU basketball under Kevin Young. What has him most excited for this season? You'll hear from him next in Jerem's conversation with him. This is BYUSN.
A breakaway for DuBonta for the hammer. What a move by Rob Wright III. To Saunders, catch and shoot, deep three, and that's good.
Really excited about what we're building and feel really great about the team.
We all feel great about the team. It's year two of the Kevin Young era as we welcome you back to BYU Sports Nation. Last week, I was in Kansas City at Big 12 Basketball Media Days and spoke with all kinds of representatives from BYU. You'll hear those conversations throughout the show today. We begin with Kevin Young. Year two, as mentioned, expectations high. Here's my conversation with the head ball coach.
Kevin, we're almost to the season. How are you feeling about year two and a full off season under your belt?
Feeling good. Feeling more comfortable than I was last year. I think a lot of the unknowns aren't quite as unknown. And, obviously love our team and just honestly ready to play.
Biggest change might be personally. You had a fourth child, a second daughter. Congratulations on the baby. How's everything going?
Thank you. No, it's going well. Yeah, baby's doing great. Mom and I are figuring it out, after a decent hiatus of having young kids. So, things are good.
How does that affect you as a coach? Because certainly you might have a little less sleep at this point, I imagine, the diaper game back in the swing.
I think guys and coaches might say I'm a little bit more ornery, a little bit more on edge. Yeah, try not to affect it too much. But honestly, it puts things into perspective. I was joking with the players the other day. There was one of the nights I had the babies by myself. My wife had some complications, so she was actually in the hospital. She's okay. But 10-day-old baby and me all night was stressful, And I told them, hey, when you got a little one just screaming bloody murder, it puts things into perspective as far as what stress actually looks like.
And then there's basketball, a fun game that we get here. But you guys played out in Nebraska. I know your wife's from that area. And you guys wanted to experience a road environment. Did you accomplish those things?
Yeah, we accomplished that for sure. It was a great venue. I'd never actually been inside of that venue. It's a really good venue, really good coach, and Fred Hoiberg. They ran good stuff. We were banged up, and so we had to make a choice on how we were going to sub it. Rob only played 16 minutes, and so we decided to just play the starters together, knowing that there would be some consequences because of that. So we got some good, useful things out of the game. Hopefully in this next exhibition game we'll have a little bit better bill of health so we can kind of make it look like and feel like more of a real game.
What do you want to do schematically on defense that you're referring to?
Well, I think just being able to we found some success last year towards the end of the year with doing some stuff that we hadn't done for the good majority of the year, so dipping into that, but then being able to pull levers on different switching, not switching, throw out some different coverages that maybe we couldn't do last year because of personnel concerns. And then having, which sounds great in an interview, but can you actually get that done when a game's running around 100 miles an hour? And so, being able to, change things, when can we change it? What can these guys actually absorb and be able to execute? That's all still stuff we're learning about.
You talked about how you wanted to get kind of longer and more athletic, year over year. Do you feel like you did that with this personnel group?
I do feel like we've gotten longer. Obviously AJ helps and he's going to be out there a lot. Kennard Davis is a guy who's can really, really guard. He gives us some good, I don't know if length, but just he's a grown man out there. And then off the bench for sure. Hadeem and Bob come in and he's really given us a spark, with his motor, and he's 6'9", 6'10", long. There's some other guys who I could go down the list. I won't go through every guy, but we're definitely longer. Now it's a matter of, okay, like I said before, who's going to play with who, what combinations do we like, and that's exciting for us to mess around with that kind of stuff.
How's the health of the team at this point?
It's serviceable, I would say. You know, Dawson Baker's getting closer. Tyler Morris is hopeful to play and probable to play in the Carolina game. Rob's kind of getting past his deal. A few other guys that are a little farther out, but that Carolina game should feel a little bit better from a bill of health standpoint.
How'd you keep the assistant coaches this offseason? Because that's a big deal to have that continuity going into year two.
Yeah, it's a huge deal, and it was not without concern. I mean, there was some guys that were offered some head coaching positions that they turned down to stick with us, which I feel fortunate about. I think it speaks, one, to just BYU. I think people like BYU. I think people like living in Provo. I think people really appreciate the amount of support that we get treated well. And obviously speaks to the talent that we have as well. You know, I think everybody was excited to work with this particular group. And don't think that'll be the case every year where we get to keep all the coaches, because I'm hopeful and feel pretty confident that a lot of my staff will go on to be head coaches of their own, and that'll be exciting when that happens.
Kevin Young coaching tree will begin, right? Yeah. The roots are right now. Is there a venue or a game in non-conference that you are particularly excited about? You've coached in NBA arenas, of course, before, but for these guys, that'll be a cool opportunity in big-time games in New York and Boston and Salt Lake and Orlando and whatnot.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot, obviously, this year. You kind of hear the mystique of Madison Square Garden. I mean, that one, it's a unique place just because it's in the heart of the city and just all the things that go with that. So I'm excited for that for our guys. But I think there's a number of them. But that one probably is the one that headlines it for me.
With UNC on the schedule and getting a blue blood like that and other UConn and Wisconsin and so on and so forth, what kind of challenges do you expect in non-conference that will prepare you for Big 12 play?
Well, I mean, last year we were able to kind of get through the non-conference without much of a challenge. And so I think that's just it, right? I don't know if there's any one specific thing other than just you're playing more talented teams, right, who I think athletically are going to be more in line with the types of teams we're going to have to beat if we want to do anything this year. So that's probably where my mind goes to. And so it's really that two things. It's the size, the athleticism, and just the overall talent.
How do you figure out Richie's role in this offense, since it is a little different with a guy like AJ, and Rob Wright's a little different than Yegor was?
Yeah, I think, and this is what's beautiful about Richie, is Richie doesn't necessarily need the ball in his hands to do what he does best, right? And this is why I know why all the NBA teams like him, is because that. If you could put that guy on top eight playoff teams in the NBA right now, he goes function just fine. He's going to make open shots. He's going to space the floor. We're doing a little bit more stuff this year. We're moving him around a little bit without the ball, a little bit more, bringing him off some off-ball screening action. But I think it's more the chemistry of those guys playing together. And then, like I said before, is the lineup combinations, right? Like, I got to make sure I'm doing a good job of optimizing who plays well with who and so forth. That'll impact him a little bit. But on the whole, man, and I just told this to the players, there's really – That's a cultural thing. Like, that's not necessarily, there's no play for that. There's no drill for that. Like, we try to move the ball. We try to get the best shot, whether that's Richie Saunders, Dawson Baker, AJ DeBanza, Rob Wright. It is what it is. And if everyone kind of has that mindset, you can be a really good offensive team.
What's the next step for AJ and his development?
I think consistency, right? I think he does a lot of really good things, and now I'm on him about just doing it every single play. And the two areas I'm really on him about in that space is playing defense and making a right read. He's so talented, he can kind of get where he wants, but he's going to see a ton of different coverages. He's going to see a bunch of different bodies. And can you make the right read is what I'm on him about, and can you do it consistently? And the defensive piece is, I mean, he has the ability to be, hands down, the best defender in college basketball because of his length, his competitiveness, his intelligence, and when he does it, it looks incredible. And because we're asking him to do a lot of things offensively, you know, I think he takes, you know, he's got to catch his breath sometimes, but I'm on him a lot about just consistently being able to be that guy.
Well, we're stoked for this. Appreciate the time, man. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
He's a little more ornery because he doesn't have as much sleep. We can empathize with that, right?
Yep.
Hey, if you want more interviews from Big 12 Basketball Media Day, including interviews with ESPN's Sean Farnham, Seth Greenberg, Fran Fraschilla, you can go to BYU Sports Nation's YouTube page and watch them anytime on demand.
After making first team all Big 12 just a season ago, what's in store for Richie Saunders in his anticipated senior season? And what's it like for him to play with A.J. DeBonta? He talks about that and much more coming up next on our season preview special. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
The Air, King Richie, whatever you want to call him.
Three up and good by Saunders. That's what we like to see from Richie.
There's just such high-level people that are going to be in the gym.
Saunders gives BYU the three-point lead.
We just have direction and we roll with it.
Welcome back to Studio B on Halloween Eve. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. Happy birthday once again to Jerem. Before we get to his interview with Richie Saunders, let's get to some headlines, shall we? Brought to you by BYU Continuing Education, inspiring lifelong learning for Cougar fans everywhere.
A.J. DeBonta named as one of 20 players on the National Association of Basketball Coaches Player of the Year preseason watch list. He's also one of 20 players named to the Julius Irving Ward preseason watch list for best small forward in college basketball. He was ranked the number one high school player in the country by multiple publications, named preseason All-American, and named to the preseason All-Big 12 team as well.
On to BYU football, and safety Fale Tausatuala named the Lott Trophy Player of the Week yesterday for his incredible performance in BYU's road win at Iowa State. Tausatuala had a game-high 10 tackles, 6 solo, a tackle for loss, and a 40-yard pick 6 in BYU's road win over the Cyclones. Tausatuala also named the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Week earlier this week.
Number 17 women's volleyball lost in 4 sets to UCF last night. Freshman Sully Davis, lone Cougar in double figures with 19 kills. BYU looks to bounce back tomorrow night on Halloween against K-State.
BYU women's soccer on the road tonight. Huge match for multiple reasons at Utah as they close out the regular season. BYU currently in a four-way tie for the final two spots to make the Big 12 tournament. The top eight teams qualify, have to win tonight to be in that conversation. Coverage begins tonight at 9 Eastern on ESPN+.
Kyle Van Noy and the Ravens play in Miami tonight against Zach Wilson and the Dolphins on Thursday Night Football.
And a Yegor Dioman update. Scored 4 points, just 1 of 6 shooting from three in a Brooklyn Nets 117-112 loss to the Atlanta Hawks. Dioman added 3 assists, 1 rebound, and a steal. He's also the first NBA player in NBA history to have his first 20 career shot attempts all be three-point attempts.
Whoa!
He's 9 for 22 from the three-point line on the season, just under 41%.
Well, how can Richie Saunders top what he did last year, and how will he mesh with a new group? Here's my conversation with Air Richie from Kansas City.
You made me nervous for a minute. Walk me through. Richie, I saw some pictures of you practicing during the summer without the headband. I'm glad to see the headband is back. You made me nervous for a minute. Walk me through headband gate.
Well, you know, I mean, it's just got to be there. But I think I forgot one or something. I don't know. I have so many, but I also give out a lot. And so that was hilarious. One practice out of, like, 300.
It just made me nervous. It's iconic. It's part of your look. Yeah, it's awesome. What is this day like for you as you represent BYU to the entire conference and to the country?
Yeah, I mean, it's fun to be a part of. Meeting tons of tons of people, but do a lot of different interviews and stuff, but it's fun. Anytime I can rep the Y, I'm good.
Last year, you came from not nowhere, but you were the most improved player in the league. The expectations are different for you this year. How are you kind of handling that mentally and physically, knowing people expect you to be a very good player in the league again?
All I know is how to work hard, and that's all I'm trying to do. So I feel like a lot of those outside things, I always say those are from my parents and preseason stuff. I don't read much into that, but all those different things, those are from my parents, and I'm going to just do me and stay in my lane.
Have tater tots come up with anyone quite yet? Do you imagine they will today?
I actually had a clock to try to see how long it would go, but this is the first one. First one.
Yes. Yes. Well, it's kind of started on BYU Sports Nation, let's be honest. What is it like to be here with AJ and Rob and KY and as a group talk about different storylines going into the season?
I mean, it's good. it's good. We got a long ways to go together, and I think stuff like this is really good and helps move stuff along. We're trying to be good when we start, not halfway through the season or whatever, and we'll get there.
What did you guys learn about yourselves against Nebraska?
Just right back to what I said. We're a new team. We're a new group, and it takes time. It takes going up against different competition, frankly, like to figure that out and really show us like the details of that, but not too stressed about that. Like we're figuring it out.
Kevin Young mentioned last year at Providence was kind of a wake-up call in terms of like a true road environment. Do you feel like that exhibition at Nebraska was helpful in that regard to not be such a shock when you go to a true road later, since you already did?
Yeah, totally. It's definitely funny, as it was our first game and that, but they actually had a really good environment, which was cool and good to see, and good for everybody to realize that this is real thing, and it's hard to win anywhere, but it's hard to win on the road for sure.
How are you handling the idea that you're number 8 in the preseason poll, and everyone's going to give you your best shot anyways, given what you did last year, but now with AJ and Rob and you and the gang, you're getting people their best shot, and you have a target on your back?
I love it. I love it. Bring it on. But I think you're 100%. We're going to get everybody's best shooting nights, everybody's best thing, but that's just a challenge that we'll figure out together and overcome.
What have you worked on this offseason that you're excited to display on the court?
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about this before on here, me and you, but, I mean, just first off, like, I've worked really hard on my ball screen defense, as well as on the flip side, my ball screen offense, and be able just to handle the rock better.
How does AJ make you a better player?
Yeah, I mean, again, we're learning how to get everything to flow, but, you know, he draws a lot of attention, so I'm hoping and that we'll capitalize on that.
Last year it felt like, and maybe this changed, tell me if I'm wrong, that a lot of what you do doesn't necessarily come in like a drawn-up play for you. You can react to how a play sort of happens, and then you can make a play. Is that different this year, or do you feel like that'll be similar where, hey, even if it's not drawn up for me, I can make something happen here?
Yeah, I mean, we'll see how everything plays out, but whether the play is for me or not, like, I want to make sure that I'm always ready to attack and be ready, because like honestly a lot of the especially in transition, I'd say that's the biggest thing, is like you gotta figure it out in transition and be ready to take that opportunity of not drawing up X's and O's exactly and attack.
Speaking of, Rob Wright III can race it up. How does he handle this offense, because he's got some incredible skills?
I mean, the ability for him to get to the paint is huge. So, I mean, it's been really fun to watch his growth in that regards of maybe not taking the first quick shot in the shot clock, because he can't get by anybody. It's incredible. But just his ability to get in there, play off 2 feet, and make the right paint reads has been huge, and it was going to be, like, number one for us.
Harder to guard AJ with his back to the basket, ISO, or Rob Wright III bringing the ball up the court?
I'd say transition with Rob Wright is, like, seeing one-on-one in transition with that dude is impossible. But, I mean, I've had to guard him. I've been intentional about guarding him all year long. And, man, he's an incredible offensive player.
It's fun because you probably won't have a better one-on-one player in AJ or someone quicker than Rob, right, when you play the defense. Talk to us about Moo, Kennard Davis, and what he brings defensively and shooting the ball.
Yeah, I mean, he's I love just his tenacity and his mindset of just being a dog, and we're going to need that. He's an incredible defender. And, you know, like, just moving forward, it's going to be huge, because we're playing a lot of good dudes with a lot of good players on their team, and so he's going to be huge for us.
Last year there was a ramping up period in non-conference, and then in league you guys took a sec to kind of figure it out, and then you win 9 in a row. You come, part of that win streak was here. What do you feel like you guys need to work on to get to where you're peaking in March here and in the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, I mean, just kind of what I've said is, like, everything's a stepping stone in a process, and it's hard, because, like, I think I've gone through this mentally a little bit. I've been like trying to compare right now to the end of last year, kind of a thing. And it's like slap across my face of, like, no, that's not actually what it is. Like, that's the beauty of a season, is it's a challenge to figure it out together. But I really think just starting now with the habits that produce winning, in March. When I mean, we're getting thrown right into it, so which is awesome.
Let's talk about that, because the non-conference is the most challenging BYU's ever had. You're going to play in a bunch of NBA arenas, Madison Square Garden, TD Bank Garden, Delta Center, and so on and so forth. What are you most excited about the challenge of non-conference, where if you don't win all the games, you'll still be rewarded with your seed later?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know exactly, but I know that it's going to be really fun to just have to figure it out with just everybody. I mean, that's kind of been what I've been saying a lot of with you, but, like, that's just the truth. Like, these are all challenges that we have to figure out how to overcome together.
I've talked to you off camera about, like, the fact that you're so mature. You have a house, you mow your lawn, you got a garden. What's in the garden and how's it going?
Man, right now it's getting sparse, but spare, whatever that word is. But it's been fun. I don't know what I'm doing at all, but I just throw stuff in the ground, and the carrots have been really good. We already talked about that off camera, but it's just fun having something different than basketball. Helps something to help take the stress off or whatever, which is funny.
Is the AirPod in? Are you just with your thoughts? Like, how do you approach that?
Yeah, no, I try to not have AirPods in, but that's kind of been my battle last little bit.
Are potatoes in the mix? I have to ask.
They're not. They're not. As much as some companies would like that. No, maybe we should, actually. Hey, that's a missed opportunity, but maybe next year.
Yeah, then you could sell literally Richie Saunders, you know, tater tots from the ground in your house. There's an opportunity there. I'm looking out for you. Yeah. Richie, thanks for the time. Keep the energy high, and have fun today, man.
I appreciate you, man.
Tots for all, Air Richie delivers. Still on the way, what has freshman phenom and preseason All-American A.J. DeBonta most hyped about the start of the season? How good does he think BYU can be? He answers that question and more after the break on BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by BYU Continuing Education, inspiring lifelong learning for Cougar fans everywhere.
A.J. DeBonta putting on a clinic.
You watch him play, and it's hard not to think, yeah, you absolutely deserve to be the number one or number two overall pick in the NBA draft.
I expect him to put up big numbers and be one of the best players in the country, not just the Big 12, but in the country.
A.J. DeBonta, everybody's excited about him as we welcome you back to BYU Sports Nation. Jerem Jordan alongside Spencer Linton. BYU's tried but never landed until this year to get a player like A.J. DeBonta. Heck, everybody tries every year. What is he most excited about for the season, and where does he improve his game? Here's my conversation with A.J. from Kansas City.
A.J., the season's getting close, man. How you feeling?
Good. I'm feeling very good.
What are you most excited about?
Just playing. I haven't played a game. I mean, actually, Nebraska was a game, but I haven't played a game before then, since, like, McDonald's or Jordan Brand, so excited.
This season is the most anticipated season in BYU history. What have you been most anticipated about regarding the good games you have and the good team that BYU is right now?
I mean, I'm just excited to play, and I think that we can show a lot of people why we're, you know, so highly doubted. So, I mean, obviously we're preseason ranked number 8, but I think we got to go higher and higher and try to get the number 1 spot.
So you feel like BYU's doubted right now?
I mean, we're not doubted. Obviously, it's the most anticipated season. But I know I think we should be a little higher than 8, so I'm going to say that we're doubted.
Whatever motivation you need, right?
Yeah.
In preseason and in practice, obviously, guys getting healthy and whatnot. What do you feel like you guys have established culturally that will translate on the court?
I think our unselfishness. I think we have a lot of talented players, and I think that we mesh really well, though. A lot of talented teams tend to, like, not really mesh well with each other, but I think that we're very unselfish.
Why do you think that is?
I mean, the type of guys we are off the court, and we bond off the court. So we'll be over each other's houses off the court. We'll be trying to eat together and stuff like that. So I think it helps for on the court bond.
What are the activities you guys do that bring you together?
I mean, you can do a 2K tournament. We did a spike ball tournament.
Nice.
And I won. So let's just make that clear.
I like your length reaching way over, right, to pass to your teammate, and then he spikes it down.
Yeah.
That's awesome. When you play 2K, are you hoping there's a college basketball 2K at some point in the future? I know someone mocked up a cover where you were on it.
Yeah, I heard that it was going to happen, but it wasn't going to be released till like 2028 or 2029, which is years away. But
so you're staying 4 years? Is that what you're saying?
Hey, if I can be in a college basketball game, I can be in a college basketball game.
You'd be a 3-time All-Star by that point. Talk to us about the team, because people obviously know the big three with you, but yeah. The rest of the guys, like Kennard Davis, Moo, what does he bring to this group with some toughness?
brings a lot of toughness, a lot of intensity. He's very hard to go by. I mean, he guards me. If he's not on my team, he's guarding me every day in practice. So, I mean, it's getting the best of me, but I'm making him better. He's making me better.
How about Kaba Keita?
He's crazy. I'm just now learning how to throw lobs. But, I mean, it was just, I was talking to Richie. He was like, you can never throw too high with Kaba, so he just throw it higher. So, I'm learning how to throw a little higher.
His brother plays professional volleyball in Italy. I mean, he could have been a volleyball player too, right?
Yeah. He has a higher vert than me. Yeah, I think he's at a 41. So, we see why.
Is he highest on the team?
Yeah, he is.
Are you second?
I'm second, yeah.
Who's third?
I want to say it's Dom. I'm not too sure, but I want to say it's Dom.
Tell us about his athleticism, the freshman from France.
Yeah, Dom, I mean, he's crazy. He's crazy athletic. Every time he gets a little sneak drive in the corner, he's trying to go dunk on somebody. But he's long, athletic, plays defense. I like Dom a lot.
Rob Wright III was telling me, hey, I'm just tired of playing our team. I want to play other teams. Who are you most tired of playing against on your team?
Moo. He's guarding you 94. I don't know why he doesn't get tired. You know, like, Utah's elevation and the mountains and everything, and he's still not tired. I'd be drenched in sweat, everything super tired, and he'd just be guarding me 94 feet, and I'd just be like, okay, bro.
That guy's annoying, but in a good way, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's the type of guy you don't want to play against, but you want on your team.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, that guy, not Moose specifically, the guy that guards you 94 feet.
Oh, yeah. Well, that guy's annoying, too. Yeah.
Talk to me about Tyler Morris and Dawson Baker and the shooters that this team has.
Yeah, DB actually, he just started getting back at live play, so he's actually on my team for the last practice in live play, and we got a couple wins. So I'm like, what I'm seeing from DB, Tyler, crazy shooter. He's actually, he might have been in like the summer, probably like the hottest shooter. I think that Akash was saying that he has the highest corner three percentage, so I'm excited to play with him.
And Akash knows.
Akash knows, for sure.
He's the analytics guy. He's awesome. With all the preseason hype and Slam Magazine and Red Bull and everything, what's been the most exciting preseason thing that you've participated in, whether it was about you or you were able to go? Because you're a world traveler, man.
Yeah, it was definitely Monaco by a long shot.
F1.
I went to F1 in Monaco, yeah.
How was that?
It was cool. It was just super rich, though. Like, we were seeing a whole bunch of yachts. Porsches is like the regular car there. It was just fun to be there. I was right above the pit stop.
Did you watch the movie F1?
I didn't. I just seen the real thing.
That's better than the movie. Yeah. But now when you see the movie, you'll be like, well, that wasn't real. That was real. I thought it was awesome. I think you should watch it. Okay, what can fans look forward to this season from you and this team as they anticipate an exciting season?
Yeah, I think it'll be exciting. I think we'll show a lot of highlight plays, where we're going to try to play the right way to win. Obviously, that's the main goal. But we're going to try to get the fans what they want to see.
Who here from another team are you the best friends with that you may run into today?
Best friends, I seen Koa earlier. We won 3 gold medals together.
Go Pete.
Yeah.
Arizona,
yeah. That's all I'm saying.
There's a bunch of dudes from that U19 team. Mm-hmm. Obviously, repping the red, white, and blue was awesome, and you did great winning, I think, the MVP, right? What kind of camaraderie do you have with those guys from that experience in Switzerland this summer?
I mean, we all – USA is a great standard because, obviously, we're top players coming from different universities or different high schools. And it's like you're down there playing with 12 NBA guys, and you just have to find a way to just mesh your role and be great at your role for like 7 games, and that's all we do.
How's school going for you?
School's good. I'm in 3 classes. I'm in person for all 3 classes, so I'm just trying to get a feel for college.
Look at you. Yeah. In person, man. How's that been?
It's good. I'm not getting, like, rated, so I'm fine. Yeah.
And you've talked about how you want to set yourself up in the future with knowledge, mm-hmm. finances and whatnot. So how are those classes kind of helping you in that next step for you?
Right now I'm just in the GEs. I'm undecided as a major, but I know moving forward I'm going to get into like the finance side business world, so I'm going to start those classes.
This non-conference schedule is awesome. Obviously, playing UConn in Boston is going to be special for you. Playing Wisconsin in the Delta Center, playing Clemson in Madison Square Garden. Is there a game that you are looking forward to the most?
Nah, not really. I mean, I'm just excited to go play college basketball. It's a different atmosphere than high school, but I wouldn't like circle in the game.
What did you learn at Nebraska that helped you get an introduction to what college basketball is going to be?
Yeah, I kind of learned what away games are like. I mean, people say it's hard to win on the road, and it is. Obviously, the student section's into it. It's all red. They have all fans there. Not too many. But there's a lot of BYU supporters there. I mean, there's LDS people everywhere, so they come and support, but it's hard to win on the road.
And KY's wife's family. She's from there, which is cool. That's why they played it, basically.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That's awesome. AJ, thanks for the time, man. Best of luck.
Thank you.
Our thanks to AJ. We'll wrap up today's show with our Rise and Shout Out and Elite Voice of the Day on BYU Sports Nation.
Sports Nation is brought to you by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by PAX, healthcare careers built for victory.
What's more likely, BYU football makes the college football playoff or BYU basketball goes to the Elite Eight? Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX, healthcare careers built for victory, comes from at RyeGray486. He says, I need both to happen.
Yeah.
Today's Rise and Shoutout presented by Mountain America, official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Also, happy birthday to Ty Detmer.
Absolutely. You share the same birthday.
Yeah, dude. Just two gunslingers.
Our thanks to today's guests, Kevin Young, Richie Saunders, and AJ DeBonta.
Sorry, Dennis.
For Jeremy, I'm supposed to shout out to Chuck Cutler. Go Cougs.